In a way, aren't we all Spartacus?
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Steve.
Hello. Greetings.
How's it going, mate?
Not too bad over here, just the old end-of-year slog for me. How's things up in the old studio?
It's good, pretty quiet. We got the air conditioning fixed. Rick got up on the roof, but it required the actual help of the University of Auckland's air conditioning unit team, and they came up and they got some more gas for it, so we've cooled down.
The best bit was when, in order to get it cold again, Rick said we had to go to maximum heat first.
To melt the ice inside it.
That was definitely a little bit movie plot-ish.
Yeah, I think I've been in the studio when it's been set to maximum heat, on a human level anyway. Possibly on a Friday night.
Oh yeah? Tell us more about this anyway. Friday night, Steve.
I think it was set to average heat last Friday night, if I recall correctly.
At the moment it's just a resting dank, so it's not easy. It's not hard to get it turned up, should we say?
Really nice to hear your voice, Cam.
Hey, good to hear from you also.
But look, we're not here to talk about each other's wonderful vocal cords, although it's nice. It's not just nice to hear your voice, it's a nice voice.
Get a room, guys.
That's when you say something. Anyway, it's all good. Hey, so today, a couple of things to touch on. I am both looking back on the year that has been and looking forward to next year, also known as the future.
Yes, the future. I love it.
And I've seen a movie from the future. It's quite similar, really, structurally, to movies that that happen now. Maybe because it was made this year, so, you know, sort of all the styles are quite normal. It's still made with cameras and that sort of thing. But this comes out on New Year's Day here in Aotearoa, and it is called House of Gucci. This is a film made by Ridley Scott, who is a... I believe Ridley Scott's a knight. I'm just going to double-check Ridley... Yeah, Ridley Scott's a knight bachelor. He's aged 84, and he has got a collection of Academy Award winners and Academy Award nominees to make what amounts to a very fancy, very silly soap opera about the Gucci family, where very talented actors overact at each other, wearing nice clothes and all sorts of different varieties of Italian accents. Some of these accents are definitely better than others.
Is it like a mob movie but without the murder? Or is there a little murder?
It is so similar to that.
Okay.
I mean, what's he doing? Because I generally associate him with sci-fi. What's he doing making a movie about Gucci?
He sort of wanders the map. A film of his came out earlier this year called The Last Duel, which was a medieval trial by combat multi-perspective sexual assault film. It's probably fair to say this is a bit more fun to watch than The Last Duel. Although that film did have some spectacular haircuts on its male cast, which may be the kind of connective tissue into House of Gucci. I'll just whip you through the cast real quick. It stars Lady Gaga. Of course, she is an Academy Award winner, although not for acting. It does seem that her performance in this film is getting some awards notice now. She plays a young woman who marries into the Gucci family in the late 70s. The chap she marries, Maurizio, played by Adam Driver, is an heir to the Gucci fortune and company.
Gucci.
But is sort of disowned by his dad for marrying beneath his station. However, his new wife decides it's not what she wants. And this is the kind of mob thing that he mentioned, Cam. Like, she sort of orchestrates a bit of a taking over of the company and shows the kind of ruthlessness that would not be out of place in a gangster film. Also not out of place in a gangster film would be Al Pacino, who's got a supporting role here.
Al Pacino, although, like, man, he just looks like he did all that blow in Scarface sometimes.
I would say he did. He did. There's no two doubts about that. It's not a question. It just happened.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think
In this particular scene, I would like for it to be real cocaine. Thank you.
Yes, I think on this, what would be the equivalent in this? It would mean that he's doing the he's doing IRL eating and he's doing IRL salesmanship. What's really unusual for Al Pacino at this kind of stage of his career, you know, when he turns into something now, he's normally the overacting kind of comic relief guy. Mm. However, also in this movie is a young man called Jared Leto.
I just saw him there in one of the press shots.
And yes, he's semi-unrecognizable.
He loves being unrecognizable. Kind of it's his favorite.
But he's, you know, sometimes he's an emaciated young man. Sometimes he's dressed up as a supervillain. And in this film, he kind of looks like Ron Jeremy, wearing a pink suit. His performance in this film, his Italian accent is so absurd and squeaky, and maybe trying to communicate with underwater mammals at times, that it really is a huge parody. And when he's on screen opposite Al Pacino, it's you can kind of feel for Pacino, because he's normally that guy. Out doing hoo-ha and the other dude off the screen. Anyway, I had a great time with this. This movie's way too long. It's 158 minutes long.
Ooh.
It wobbles all over the place. It's good, it's bad, it's camp, it's a mess, but it's also so much fun. And I reckon it's well worth checking out early in the new year, especially if your brain is still on holiday or still recovering from your New Year's activities. So
nice one.
Now, yeah, hey, Steve, keep it at home. It's pretty harmless, and it's great to see a really good filmmaker kind of settling for a very middling but super fun movie.
Nice one.
Also goosey.
Did you hit Spider-Man last week? There's a spider on the screen here, so I'm just...
I checked out Spider-Man, at one point I said to myself, so this is what a movie is in 2021. I did not like this experience that much. It felt to me like a computer had made something most with probability software to most please a super fan of Marvel, and it's sort of forgotten about the part where it's good to be a proper movie.
Mm.
However, I'm seeing that lots of people have liked it, so... who gives a shit what I say about it?
There's way too many Spider-Man movies, man. That's
second biggest opening of all time.
Oh,
clearly people are paying money to see this.
Wow.
However, yeah, there's
okay.
People have spoken, or at least the people have spent. And as far as studios go, that's the most important thing.
All right. Now, you've been squirreling or working away on some best of 2020 lists, Steve Newell.
Yes, I have.
2021. Get my year right.
You've done that twice today.
It's a whole new year.
John's in denial. That's the thing.
I think just you've got what, nine days to get it sorted, and then you've got to start.
That's the second time today you've done that, John.
On to 2022.
You've done that twice today now.
At least I'm in the right decade.
That was a pretty confident rehearsal. So if you can keep that up, you'll go well. Yeah, we've had a look at the. Looking at best shows of the year, the combined Flix Writers Top 20. What I found surprising about this list, or surprising in comparison to previous years, was probably more comedy on it than I'm used to seeing in a Top 20 list, which I would just hazard a guess goes a long way to explaining that by thinking what we actually wanted to be watching this year and the sort of things we needed to be checking out were possibly a little more lighthearted. Without running you through the whole shebang, some of the things that was nice to see in this top 20 was New Zealand show Creamery. This is a dystopian series about a world where men were wiped out by a pandemic. Women got together and made the air quote perfect society, which wasn't all that was cracked up to be. And then, hey presto, when a man kind of stumbles into it, he at first gets kept secret by a group of women who start to come up with all sorts of designs on his reproductive qualities. and then the whole thing just takes some interesting turns from there.
That's crazy. Is it a New Zealand? Is it a New Zealand one?
Yeah, it is a New Zealand one. And so it's, I said at the time, move over Fonterra. This might end up being our biggest milk-related export of the year. And lo and behold, it's now streaming on Hulu in the US.
Oh, so, wow. Gosh.
Now Americans are getting a load of, pardon the pun, of New Zealand's talent and also alternative uses for coffee cups in vitro fertilization. You can make the most. You can make of that what you will.
Nice one. Anything else on that list, Steve, that we need to, like, watch?
Yeah, something you need to watch pronto is Joe Pera Talks With You. This is a very mild-mannered, ultra-gentle comedy series starring a chap called Joe Pera, who engages directly with the viewer on a number of topics. This has been out for a little while. TVNZ just got the first two seasons of this year, and I see on TVNZ On Demand they're actually going to expire on New Year's Eve. So something really gentle, something really different. It's a little bit melancholic. There's definitely nothing else out there like Joe Pera Talks With You. So check that out before it disappears into the ether. It's the most relaxing thing you've possibly ever seen, apart from that Netflix show that's just a fireplace. That did not make the list this year, actually.
What's that called? Crackling Fire?
Crackin' Fire. Oh, you know what? I've forgotten the name of the fire. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I'll mention two more before I go that have really kind of stayed with me this year. I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson's my favourite outright comedy this year.
It's funny.
Yeah, the aforementioned Tim Robinson just getting himself into situation after situation where he's defending an increasingly indefensible position in a sketch, getting louder and stupider by the second. If you've ever found yourself... I mean, I've been on both sides of this argument. I've been digging my heels in resolutely, even as part of my brain goes, no, you should just let that one go. Also, I've been face-to-face with that and gone, can't you just admit that, oh no, it's okay, you're fine. No, your shirt's great. No, expensive shirts with complicated patterns. No, that's fine. This is a good one. I found this very quotable and rewatchable this year. Number one, probably no surprise, given it's just recently wrapped up and it's been talk of the town for the last couple of weeks or months even, was HBO's Succession, which had another super, super strong season this year. I don't feel there's much more that needs to be said about this show. And I don't feel like you need to be told to watch it because everyone's been doing that already. So... on that note, I'll stop arguing with you.
Somebody wants to know what your take on High Maintenance is. It's on Neon.
Quite like High Maintenance. We were really focused on... this list is the product of a whole group of writers who have kind of smushed their various lists together and also just pertains to stuff that came out this year. So pro High Maintenance. I'm quite pro using weed delivery as a conduit to comedy.
Word.
Make of that one what you will. And on that note, I think I'll just wish you guys a safe Christmas season and a bloody happy New Year. I look forward to catching up with you, if not over the next couple of weeks, in the new bloody year. John, that's going to be 2022.
Yes, 2022. Thank you, Steve Newell, for a fantastic year of flicks in that.
Is 2021 kind of the sequel to 2020?
Yeah, it definitely feels like it.
Because it was not as good. Wow, it was pretty good with the UFO stuff, but the COVID stuff.
Yeah, actually, I just said hopefully it stops there. Hopefully the world doesn't stop at 2021.
Yeah, if it's... 2021. We're due a Return of the Jedi, aren't we? That was that number two?
Oof.
Number
that
five.
That was number three.
Depends
or number
count.
Six, yeah. Anyway, hey, Steve. Thanks, mate.
It's been a pleasure. Catch you guys soon. And for the listeners, have a good time out there. Bye-bye.
Keep on listening.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.